This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. This week, the online window opened for parents and students to start filling out the federal application for college financial aid for the next academic year. This is the FAFSA, never easy. We've been talking to personal finance expert Beth Kobliner about paying for college. Now, last week, she urged parents to start talking to their college-bound kids early about college finances. Today, a conversation about increasing chances that you will qualify for aid. Beth, welcome back.
Great to be here.
All right. So some perfect people have been planning for 20 years on funding their kids' college education. But for some people who may have been procrastinating, are there strategies to increase the chances you might get some money?
Yes, there are, actually. First of all, what's important to know is you need to start this pretty early because colleges look at what's called your base year. And that base year starts January of 10th grade and goes through December of 11th grade. So, you know, the obvious point is the more money you have, the less financial aid you get. And for that reason, you may want to consider a few moves before you get even to that base year.
All right. So what's a move? Go on a shopping spree?
Right. Well, okay. So if you have good reason to spend down your savings, say you owe money on a high interest rate credit card, then by all means, pay off that debt before the base year, since A, it's a smart personal finance decision to pay off high rate debt. Also, at the same time, you're reducing your assets and perhaps will qualify for more financial aid.
You're sort of gaming the system. Mm. There may be ethical issues that are raised by this. Some of our listeners are thinking that right now.
Here's the thing. It might seem like you're gaming the system, but it's a really bad system. You know, rising college costs have outpaced inflation for decades. You know, federal loans, federal grants have flatlined. So you really need to do everything you can to get the most financial aid for your kid. And just like when you fill out your taxes, you're hunting around for legal deductions. Same thing here. You know, you're hunting around to make your money look most able for you to get financial aid. For example, like under the FAFSA formula, kids contribute 20% of their assets to college, whereas parents are asked to contribute just about 5%. So it's generally, you know, smart to try to put college savings in a parent's name, not a child's. That's not hiding money. It's just a smart way to follow the rules so that you get more aid.
All right. And a totally legit strategy for parents, but it's one that required a long period of planning was in some states you can prepay your child's tuition if they go to the state school.
Right. There are these plans, which were really popular in the 80s, early 90s, and they allowed you to lock in tuition at today's dollars. And when your kid goes 18 years from now, you're set. These are less popular now because, first off, there have been some cases of plans not being able to keep that promise completely. But also, your choices are limited. And, you know, as we've discussed, that kids have choices now and they have opinions about where they want to go. So if you do one of these prepaid plans, you're really locked into a number of schools in your state. A more flexible way to save is these very popular state-sponsored college savings plans known as 529s, and they allow your money to grow tax-free if you use it for college costs, and you could use that money at any school you want.
So as part of your field work here, you talked to a family, Regla and her daughter, Nicole.
We had the Florida prepaid.
I knew that it would only work for Florida schools. I knew that if I wanted to leave, that I would have to find a school that has really good financial aid.
All right. So you see, it's complicated right there.
Very complicated. And in her story, she wanted to go out of Florida. You know, she wanted to go to school away from home. And that became complicated when her mother had been saving all these years in a plan specifically for Florida schools.
Yeah, well, the child could say, I'm not a box on a spreadsheet, daddy or mommy. You know,
right.
I'm more than that. But
right.
That's the complexity about these prepaid plans.
Very much so. And I think that's why, you know, over the last recent years, 529s have gotten very popular. Often, if you put it in your own state's 529 plan, you also can maybe get some tax breaks, state breaks. But there's just a lot of ways to look at this. But I think flexibility for most parents right now is key. And, you know, I have people talking to me who have children who aren't even born yet, and they're starting to look at these plans because they're so nervous about this. This is one of those emotional topics that I think starting the conversations early. We even know from research that if you tell a kid, a young kid, you're saving for his or her college, that kid is more likely to go to college regardless of how much money's in the account.
And if you compare it to buying a car,
right.
People growing up, oh, someday I'm going to buy a car.
Right.
You know that a Mercedes AMG is going to cost so much more than a used Honda Civic, if that's the choice. And the whole discussion in your head is connected to the money. Often, that's not the case with college. You're saying change that.
I think that's true. And I also think that for parents, it's so much more difficult, at least when you're shopping for a car. You basically know what price you'll be paying. For colleges, it's a black hole. You're putting in those applications and you have, you know, a vague idea of how much aid you'll get, but it's tricky. And that's why I think looking at this information now early, talking to each other about it, and then talking to your kids is critical.
All right. And debt may be part of this, but so many students have crippling loads of debt. We've had people on the program worried about an emerging student debt crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just say, don't get into student debt? Don't borrow for your education?
Look, I think that when you look at the numbers, we know that if you graduate from college and if you take on a reasonable amount of debt, say $20,000, even $30,000 at a low interest rate federal loan, that over time, that'll be a good investment. You will earn, on average, $1 million more than if you didn't graduate from college at all. But it's true. You have to pick the right school, and you have to pay for it in the right way. So low interest rate loans and finding a school. If you find a school that you feel is worth that $20,000, $30,000 in debt as a student, then you can go for it. But just realize you want to stay with these low interest rate loans. And of course, the one other big problem that's come up is parent debt. Now, the amount that parents are borrowing for college has surpassed the amount students are borrowing for college. And on average, for recent graduates, parents take out, those who borrowed took out $30,000 in debt, usually the parent plus loan. So parents now are sacrificing a lot of their futures in order to send their kids to college. And that's another discussion you need to have with your spouse or partner before you have that talk with your kids.
Personal finance expert Beth Kobliner's latest project is called We Need to Talk College. We'll have a handy link to that at marketplace.org. Beth, thank you.
Great to be here.